This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
And I invite you all, inshallah, when you go to Hajj or Umrah and you go to visit the Masjid al-Nabawi, go to Al-Baqi'a. Baqi'a is called Jannah, Jannatul Baqi'a. They can see from outside. Go and see sisters and brothers. Do you know some of the greatest Sahaba are buried there? And there is nothing, subhanAllah. Nothing to show the grave big or nothing. Sahaba. I mean, we're talking about Fatima, the daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We're talking about Aisha, the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We're talking about Uthman radiallahu anhu. Uthman, may Allah be pleased with him. The third great caliph of all time. Son-in-law of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, buried there. Nothing. Some of the greatest Sahaba, nothing. So am I better than them? You think people didn't love them? They love them more than you and me. Go speak bad about the Sahabi and you will see what people will do to you. Just speak bad. And say freedom of speech. They will show you what does freedom of speech of. You're insulting here. You're insulting a dead person. A Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In this, I open a bracket and say, we should never ever talk bad about the Sahaba. Be very careful. There are people who speak very bad about them and they attack them. It is enough for them as an honor that Allah chose them to be what?
Wali.
Wali. Very good. To be with the Prophet. He didn't choose me to be with the Prophet. He chose them to see the Prophet, to hear from him. And enough as an honor that the Quran was revealed in their time. He didn't give me that honor. He didn't give it to you. Sorry. And then I go speak bad about them. They already score high by just being listening to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as soon as Jibreel comes to him and revealed to him the Quran. And then they hear it fresh, as Allah revealed it from the mouth of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Their ears heard the Prophet. I didn't hear the Prophet. So who am I to come and talk bad about any Sahabi? And what did they do to me? Why I'm saying this? Because there are writings now spreading and people are reading and they're good people, but they might repeat something that the author who's putting his poison there without you knowing, because you are coming to Islamic knowledge. You want to know, oh, the Sahaba, oh, this happened between Umar and Fatima. May Allah be pleased. He treated her like that. Oh, it must be rude. Who are you talking about? A man that the Quran came four times agreeing with him. Imagine Allah agrees with Umar. May Allah be pleased with him. Imagine that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala above seven heavens agrees with Umar's opinions. And he reveals Quran to be read till the day of judgment. Who am I to talk bad about any Sahabi? I should worry about my hereafter. I'm about to go to Akhirah. I'm getting sick every week. My children are growing up. I don't know what will happen. I should worry about that. Why should I worry about the past? And why we always look at the past as Muslims? أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Excellent. This is a very good question. How about if a loved one dies overseas and his family are, let's say, in Malaysia, and he dies in London? If it is his wasiya, verbal or written, that if I die, please bury me in Malaysia, next to my mother, then you can bring the body. Although that's not the right thing to do. But if it is his wasiya, because he left a wasiya, he left a will, a testament. But if he did not, the best way is to bury him wherever he dies. To bury him, not cremate. Make sure they bury. Meaning, even if the whole family cannot travel, one at least goes, or make sure his friends bury him, to go to the masjid, wash him, and then bury him. Because these people can take the body and say, we'll take care of that. We'll take care of that. Don't trust them. They can cremate. They didn't even take care of their own soldiers. Did you hear recently 270 bodies of the Air Force, U.S. Air Force? From Afghanistan, they throw them, they dump them. Yeah, in America. Yes, 270 bodies. You don't hear this news. You hear only democracy, Mitt Romney, he's coming, he's coming. McDonald, all Americans are obese now. That's what. By the way, most Malaysians are obese too. Between the 90s when I was here and now when I came back, Malaysians are getting this big. I cannot understand it in a country that is full of food culture. There is a lot of food here, alhamdulillah. It's not like you are in the desert where you eat only from a certain time to a certain time. 24 hours, alhamdulillah, there is food here. There is nasi lemak, there is this, there is that. So what made the Malaysians big now is McDonald's and so on, Western food. Western food.
Question?
Yes.
Does the soul come back to the family after
death? No. Very good. Does the soul come back? No. It does not come back to the family. It goes back to Allah.
It doesn't like visit us?
No. The Qareen, maybe. Be careful. The shaitan of so-and-so may visit you. But not the soul of the body of the human being.
If I die,
yeah.
Will I visit back my home and see my children?
No. No. Khalas. Habis. Habis. Very good. No. Because she is very right. Because this question is being debated by some Muslims that the body can come and let's talk to it. And, yeah, the soul. Huh? Yeah, no. They wait for, look, the grave. In the grave, if you go and make dua and do, alhamdulillah, especially there is hadith that on Monday and Thursday, the souls wait for their loved ones to come visit them.
At the grave.
But not coming here to you. No.
And also, so if we go there, they will know we are there.
Yes, you make dua. But they will not interact with you. If there is any interaction, be careful. Eh? If there is any interaction, that's the shaitan talking to you. Who has the same voice. Who knows everything and the whereabouts of that person. Because he has been always his shaitan. And to some bombos, you go and they tell you, okay, you want to talk to your daddy? Yeah, I want to. Okay, wait here. And they start hearing your dad. Dad, I miss you. Yes, I miss you, my daughter too. And this and that. I miss you, but I don't want to be with you now. Well, dad, we have to agree on this. You can't tell him. Who's talking to you? That's not your dad. Your dad is with Allah already. Who's talking to you is the shaitan of your dad, the Qareen. The Qareen. The Qareen speaks exactly like him. He knows everything like about him. But you cannot see him. Qareen, yeah. In the fasting month, same thing. You meaning to visit them? Huh? The soul, yes, same thing. In Ramadan or other than Ramadan. The souls, if you go to the graveyard on Mondays and Thursdays,
they're there.
They're in there.
There.
Yes. if you want, this is the beauty of Islam, alhamdulillah. When a Muslim dies in his grave and buried in his grave, if he's a good Muslim, may Allah make us all good by following the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by loving the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Right?
I mean,
your stay in your grave, even if it takes centuries, will be just like a nap between Dhuhr and Asr. For a Muslim, for a good Muslim, may Allah make us all. When we go to our grave, even if we stay centuries, like the Sahaba for now, 1400 years, you feel like you spent only a nap between Dhuhr and Asr. Go sleep after you pray Dhuhr, good makan, you pray Dhuhr, and then go sleep and Asr wake up. That's exactly how you will feel. But for a non-Muslim or for a wicked Muslim, God forbid, they will feel it's eternity. It's too long. Even if it was one day. For example, they die today and tomorrow is the day of judgment. So please remember that. Allah will make it easy for you, inshallah. Okay? Yes, sister.
Sorry. One last question.
Very good question. Organ donation. After death. Even during death. I mean, before death. Before death, can I give part of my body? You can, as long as it does not lead to your death. For example, if you give one kidney. Usually one kidney does not lead to your death, but two kidneys lead to your death. Here you cannot do that. Can I give one eye? Yes, you can give one eye. No, before death. I'm talking about before death. Can I give skin so that they plant on somebody who got no problem. Any donation of your body that does not lead to death actually is highly regarded by Islam as if you saved all mankind. Imagine if you save one life. If you save one life, one human being, Muslim or non-Muslim, as if you saved all mankind. Now, how about after death? Because we need to first, before death. After death, there are two opinions of scholars. Some ulama say no. Why? Because you have to respect the body. The body died as is. You cannot take off, send it back to Allah. This is their rationale. The other opinion is no. Saving a life. Even after death. Like if I am clinically dead, that's it. My brain is dead, but the heart's still pumping the blood. They, all the doctors, Muslims and non-Muslims, numerous of them, said that this man is dead. He's vegetarian because Allah wants to show his justice. If it is relevant to you, it is not for others because they cannot see that. They cannot see that. For example, some people were not buried at all. Their bodies were never found. So they didn't go through the process of seeing. The body was not there, just the soul. For example, they burned, they exploded, they were into pieces. They were cremated, God forbid. They were not entered in their graves. That's one. Number two, what's wrong with me knowing the outcome before judgment? There is nothing wrong. If I know that I'm going to be rewarded, and I'd be just waiting for the day of my reward, and for the person who saw his place in hellfire, khalas, at least he got news, and Allah is torturing him already, not physically yet, but his soul, spiritually, his soul is being tortured by knowing the outcome that he has been a loser all his life. So when Allah creates his body again and put the soul in it for one more time to enter hellfire, he will be ready for the punishment. I don't see the contradiction between knowing the outcome and the day of judgment. Because the judge is fair. For example, I give you an example. A person who has committed a murder. And this murder has been planned, well executed, and with all kinds of intentions to kill. And the person is caught. What do you think he has to think of himself? He's caught. And he knows that in that country, they execute the criminal. So what does he should tell the judge what? What should he expect from the judge? What should he? With what? What's the punishment? Death. Same thing. If a person did very bad, very ugly, and then in the grave he sees a window of hellfire, what does he expect? He did bad. Even if he doesn't see the window, he already did bad. So he should expect worse. He should expect worse. Same thing, because remember, brothers and sisters, the reward and punishment is according to the deeds. In Islam, we don't give you reward for bad deeds, and we don't give you punishment for good deeds. Otherwise, it's unfair. So whatever you have done, you will find accordingly. And no one will blame Allah in the day of judgment, because Allah will ask you, did I wrong you? Oh, my slave, did I wrong you? You cannot say, yes, oh God, you wronged me. You cannot. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will show you. And he gives you, he says, speak. Don't fear anything now. Speak your mind. Did I wrong you? Didn't you do this? Didn't you do this? Didn't you do this? And he shows you a movie. From the moment your mother gave you birth until your other mother hugged you, which is earth. Said, you come back, my son, to me. Come back, my daughter, to me. And it's serious, sisters and brothers. I advise you and myself, every week we meet, we actually are supposed to hug each other. Do you know that? Sisters hug sisters and brothers hug them. Do you know why?
I hug you all the time.
I know. Jazakallah khair. Because it's a new birth. It's a new, Allah, it's a new chance. Yesterday I went to sleep, and in this morning I said, oh my God, imagine I didn't wake up. It scared me. It scared me. I'm never going to see my children, my brothers and my sisters. It really scares you. It should. It should move you at least. Why? To make that day productive for Akhirah. Because definitely you're going to be productive for the dunya. And you'll be loser for not being productive for dunya and Akhirah. All watching, united, making money. United, Manchester United, making money. And you, oh, why Suarez didn't say hello to Evra? What's your problem? Why Muslims are not saying salam to Muslims? At least they are players, they are making money. Oh, you know, he's rude. He didn't say salam to him. And big news. Muslims are not saying salam to Muslims. Muslims are not saying salam to Muslims. A brother is not saying salam to his brother. That does not ring a bell. And a non-Muslim not shaking hands as if a big deal. Thank you. You are good. The good news. Rasulullah s.a.w. And it was supposed to come, but I kept it for next week. But the good news, since I promised. Rasulullah s.a.w. said, if 40 people pray Salat al-Janazah on you, Allah forgives you. If 40 people. Yes, inshallah. He's generous. If 40 people pray Salat al-Jan. And he said, people, it can include men and women and children, no problem. That's why I call as many people as you can and make them at least three rows. You heard me saying that when I made Salat Janazah on Brother Abdul Halim, rahimahullah. I said, because the Prophet said, three rows at least. One, two, three. Even if there is only 40 men and women, one, two, three, at least. So alhamdulillah, the good news is that Rasulullah said, if a Muslim dies and 40 mu'min attend his or her funeral, Allah will forgive them. 40, oh, more. Oh, more. Alhamdulillah. Isn't this good news? This is more than $1 million gift, I'm telling you. What do I do with $1 million when I'm going to leave it after I go? But to go while Allah forgave me because of my brothers and sisters praying for me, alhamdulillah. Should be happy. Okay, very good. No, there is no adhan. There should not be adhan in the grave. After we bury the person, there is a sunnah to sit next to him or her and then say, oh, Abdul Halim, son of so-and-so. When the angels come to, because they are right there. They are already with him. Yeah, he can hear. Yeah, he hears. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, this man is hearing all of your footsteps right now. As you are leaving, he hears all footsteps. Meaning, if a man sits with the person who passed away and say, oh, Zubair, son of so-and-so, oh, Fatima, daughter of so-and-so, if the angels ask you, who's your Lord? Say, Allah. If they ask you, what's your religion? Say, Islam. So you are helping him. You are like telling him, these are the... He hears and he thanks you for that. He will hear, but cannot talk. Talqeen. This is talqeen, but no adhan. Adhan is to call the living, lousy Muslims to move their behinds and go pray. And any time to make dua to the dead ones, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will answer you, inshallah. It doesn't have to be specific time and specific... Anyway, you are on the aeroplane, you are in Mecca, you are in Johannesburg, you are here, you are in a market. Remember your brother, you make dua, father, mother, inshallah, Allah will forgive. If the husband is the one who has right over his wife, if a woman dies, her husband buries her and her son, then comes the father, if her father is still alive. Is this clear? Not a stranger touch you, especially you are going, your last encounter with the humans, you let a foreigner touch your body. Make sure your sisters say, when I die, you're my husband, you come, be man enough and put me inside. They say, well, they are. This is their job. They are professional. Sorry. Professional to dig the grave. And we pay you.
Normally a lot of unknown people go.
Ah, that's wrong. That's very wrong. Look, even if their intention, sisters, even if your intention is pure, the action is wrong.
The family should go down.
Family should, yes.
If the man is too old to go down.
Then,
the son.
Son-in-law, your grandson. nephews, those who are haram to you to marry you. Mahram, a person who cannot marry you by in Islam, like your nephew, your son-in-law, your son, huh? These people, alhamdulillah. Otherwise, what's the good of having a family when they don't come to my burial? Unless they are traveling or overseas, that's another thing. But if they are in town, come on. You are in town, you're supposed to come. Okay, my brothers and sisters, may Allah forgive us. Alhamdulillah, the good news is that if 40 Muslims attend your funeral and pray for you, Salat al-Janazah, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. And usually, more than that attend, Alhamdulillah. And that's why I always say, wait for Dhuhr or Asr, so that more people come for the Salat anyways, plus the family and friends who came all the way, and they pray, and khalas, yalla. We need each other. Okay, brothers and sisters, we stop here. May Allah accept your attendance and accept my lecture. May Allah reward you for listening. And may Allah forgive us all. And may Allah bless brother and his wife for opening their house. Jazamullah khair. And thank you very much. I'm truly honored to teach you from whatever Allah taught me. Inshallah, next week we continue with this subject. And then we finish it. We finish this subject of janazah. And we go back to our subjects. And this time, we are going to enter some very, very, very unknown subjects of Islam. Unknown. Muslims, I'm yet to hear Muslims talking about them. Because to them it's like, huh? You should talk about these issues. To us, Islam is wudu, ghusl, salat. And when we are going to Umrah, we talk, what is this? What is how to deal with people? What is how to deal with a Muslim versus a non-Muslim? So many things when you see, oh, my God, we don't know this much. This much we don't know. We know this little and we think we're going to Jannah. May Allah forgive us. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك اللهم اجعل اجتماعنا اجتماعا مرحوما وتفرقنا من بعده تفرقا معصوما ولا تجعل فينا ولا معنا شقيا ولا محروما ربنا آتنا من لدنك رحمة وهيئ لنا من أمرنا رشدا ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وصلي اللهم وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وآله وصحبه أجمعين السلام عليكم